Avoid all room for evil imaginations in situations. If you are not his child by birth or adoption as a young child, it is highly advisable, and I would say it is a must, to always be accompanied by the woman also when you are counseling. It avoids so much, and it builds relationships. I know you might think, that's not fair, but I just won the father. Life isn't fair. You might as well accept it. If you've had to leave your father for Christ's sake, you are blessed among princesses. God is blessing you. He holds you in high honor for that. If you did not put them before you, before Christ. But do listen to the advice and counsel of people and avoid temptations and true, submit to authority, but preferably if you are not adopted as a young child or as a blood daughter, always be accompanied by the woman. To those of you who have had fathers that might have abused you physically, this is a very hard subject. It's a hurtful subject. And I don't want to get into detail here, so I would advise you to go to a mature Christian woman and to get counsel to know just how you should relate to your father and what is appropriate and what isn't. You know, we need to know some of those things, how to build a relationship, but it does not give you leeway not to honor them in actions. Okay, let's talk about our mothers. What kind of mothers do we have? We might have domineering mothers. We might have selfish mothers. We might have a workaholic for a mom, or we might have a lazy mom. We might have an unsubmissive mom, an unhappy one. Or we might have a mom that is a model of grace, happiness, and beauty. Once again, when it says honoring your father and your mother, it is not contingent on the fact of whether she deserves that honor or not. We are required to honor her as queen over me, despite her actions, whether she deserves it or not. And here I want to bring out the thing of releasing our mother. And I'm bringing it in under mother because often there's more of a hurt or friction if there's a little bit between mom and daughter than there is even between dad and daughter. But I would like to tell you how much farther you can go in your Christian life if you learn to release your mother and your father. You can apply this to your father too if you have struggle in your relationship with your father. Our attitudes and bitterness often stem from feeling like our parents owe us an apology or more respectful actions. We think they need to answer for their actions to us. You look at that ladder. Anybody above yourself on the ladder, you have no right to question them, or should I, no, that's not worded correctly. Anyone in the ladder above you is not responsible to answer to you. You are to release them and not make them responsible in your heart to answer to you for their decisions or their actions. Once we learn to release them, we release a lot of bitterness and hurt feelings because we feel they didn't do like I feel like they should. And once you release them, there is such a freedom. You think, who said they have to me? I release them. I don't put any responsibility on them whatsoever as to what they need to do or how they need to relate to me. I release them. I'm just going to look at my part of the deal. We have gained a tremendous victory in our life once we have learned to release everyone above us on the ladder of authority and no longer make them feel like they need to answer to us for their actions. Learn to focus only on your responsibility, not on your parents. Let them make mistakes or no mistakes to the God they serve. You're not their God. You choose to love them in word and deed because God requires it. Release them from having to earn your admiration and respect and choose to love them in spite of their actions. God is such a mysterious arrangement of actions first and then feelings. I don't know if John D. Martin ever made a statement that stuck with me more over the years than that statement. that if you choose to do something, you put your actions first, your feelings often follow. You choose to love someone, the feelings come. It seems whenever God has instructions or commandments to His people, they were action words, not adjectives or feeling words. It seemed like He knew once a person purposes to obey and follow through, eventually the feelings will catch up. And He knows our feelings are up and down, and they're not, you don't go by your feelings. You choose to do things. If you consistently act respectful to your mom, you will feel a respect within you rising. If not for her life, at least for her position. How do we honor our mothers in actions? Once again, honoring means to exalt. Never make your mother feel foolish by mimicking her. Never laugh at her mistakes unless she laughs with you. Or laughs first. Honoring her is to remember her age and the amount of children she has had, especially so if she is pregnant at the time being. Sometimes that's kind of hard for us to imagine, but I would, if you really have a hard time imagining something, I think it might be good for you to try tying a 20 to 40 pound sack on your stomach for one whole day and see if your legs and lower back aren't aching and giving out to the end of the day. Treat her feet with lotion and rub them and pretend that they are Jesus' feet. As ye have done unto the least of these, my brethren, and we are not saying our mothers are the least by all means, but if you feel in your heart like she's the least person I can love, what you do to her, you are doing to Christ Himself. And they do get weary. I never realized how much child having children would take out of me until I had several, and I have by all means not had 9 or 10 or 11. You know, you just need to remember this part. Honoring her is to prefer her above yourself. How do I prefer her above myself? Try to always do the hardest physical labors at home to give her more energy. Do not expect her to do the dishes or other work when she is counseling or entertaining company. Always work your projects around hers. You honor her, exalt her, make her feel her things are before yours. You don't work her things around yours. You work your things around her. Number 4. Never undermine her feelings about things to your father. That's a very serious one. If we do that, do we realize that we are, when we do that, we are helping the devil with a sledgehammer into one of the most important things in life? God has created marriage to be one of the strongest speaking forces of His love for His people. And He honors marriage. Marriage is a beautiful, wonderful thing. If you undermine your mom's feelings to your dad and try to make your dad disrespect your mom just in order to get your point across, you are helping Satan, taking hold of the same sledgehammer he is. Honoring her is to scorn any temptation or opportunity to lower her in others' opinion or even her husband's opinion. Honoring her is to, with humble resignation, give up my plans. Honoring her is to obey Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not being outwardly rebellious, so we kind of jokingly, oh, Mom, you know, this is hard, and you kind of do it in a joking manner. That's not really, really honoring her. You try to imagine if Christ would be there. Would you say it jokingly to Christ? As you do it to her, you're doing it to Christ. These commandments, remember, are for your spiritual growth as much as it is to give her respect and honor in her station. Honoring someone else and giving in to someone else crucifies our own fleshly exaltation and starts Christ's humility in our hearts. We pray, Lord, won't you draw me closer? But the very things he's bringing into our life and heart, we turn away from. And those are the things that would make us more like Christ. They would put humility in our heart. And we go away from it. We think that's not important. That's just a little thing. How do I make my mom my friend? Mother-daughter relationships are one of the most beautiful on earth. Your mother should be your closest friend and counselor. But you don't understand. Maybe I do. You draw back. You're afraid of being rebuked. You feel hurt because of calloused words. You feel she doesn't understand. You feel like your interests aren't what her interests are. And you have bitterness in your heart towards her from maybe incidents that happened over the past. Never blame her for anything until you know that every time without fail you are perfectly the model of a daughter. Do not go for help and say, my mom just does not understand me, we just cannot relate, until you know that you are doing everything that is required of you as a daughter. You are honoring her, you are respecting her, you are putting her wishes above your wishes. There are so many times of friction between mothers and daughters, and the daughter just thinks she doesn't understand. We just don't knit together, our hearts don't. And probably most of the reason is because the daughter is not in her place. I'm not talking about the mother's responsibility here. I hope you mothers are godly enough not to throw this at your daughters, and that you will take your own responsibility. But I'm speaking to your daughters. You do not look at your mom's side of the coin. You always look at your own. And you think, well, if I'm not hitting it off with my mom, it is a good reason probably because I'm not being as respectful of her, I'm not exalting her, I'm not preferring her plans above mine. Most, if not all, mother-daughter relationships are solved once the daughter lets Christ's humility reign within her. Arguments and bad feelings usually take two to accomplish. The more you share with her, the less she will take every opportunity to lecture or advise you. You think, well, every time I try to share with her, she comes up with this lecture. Maybe it's because you have such a hard exterior, the only time she ever has any hope of planting a seed in you is when you try to open up a little bit. You need to share with her often enough that she does not feel that responsibility to plant seeds in you every time you open yourself up with her a little bit. Sometimes she longs to share with you in areas you need wisdom. And the only time she sees a chance is when you try to open up to her. Then you get hurt and you think, I always get a lecture. Share with her more and it will get solved. The road to communication is not easy. It involves choosing. I don't know how many times as I was growing up, even though I did it, each time it was kind of a new thing. If I had something really heavy on my heart, and Mom and I would be traveling together down the road, and I could get hot and cold by turns, and I'd just about speak, and I think, no, I just can't. But all of a sudden, you just force yourself to speak, and you just tell her what's on her heart. And there is so much joy afterwards. There's such an openness between you. You are so glad you did it many times. It involves happiness afterwards. And so, just as far as that's concerned, I know it's hard, but it is worth it. And that's the way you build relationships. Treasure her advice. Ask for it. She is a woman also, and she was a girl your age at one time. It will make her love and appreciate you more. You think, I want my mom's love and appreciation. Well, treasure her advice. Ask her for advice. She can't help but love you. Don't you love people that come to you, that respect you in honor and honor you enough to ask you for your opinion? Well, she'll respect you and she'll honor you and she'll love you if you come to her. Go to her about the facts of life. We miss many golden opportunities to be close to our mothers by bypassing them, and we go to other young ladies with our questions and our hopes and our fears about it. And the problem is, those of you that are not married do not really know the facts of life for what they are. And a lot of misrepresentation, facts that are not true, feelings and fears get built up because you're getting things that are not true from girls that do not have experience. And it's a lot of hearsay, and they say, well, so-and-so said so-and-so, and get the facts of life from your mother. It is a real opportunity. If you just make yourself brave and go and ask her about it, it's a real opportunity for closeness and for sharing. And it's much more accurate than young ladies. Once again, release her from responsibilities in your relationship building. Just release her. Forget about her part of the deal. Just remember you're part of the deal. Allow yourself to be in a vulnerable position, just like your father. Pursue it with all your heart, remembering that honoring her in word and in deed is the fastest way to break down walls that might be between you two. There are some of us that might have deep-rooted bitterness in our heart that we absolutely cannot get over, and I know that comes right into our circles. We do struggle. If you have that stronghold and you feel like it is almost impossible to get over it and just swallow all this stuff and just grit my teeth and go do this. Number one, you might want to write this down. Ask God for true repentance for bitterness. No longer focus on her actions, but you ask God for true repentance in your heart. And keep earnestly asking until you feel very weighed by guilt about it. Fast and pray until you feel like you're ready to burst. Your second step, get your mom and dad together. Communicate your whole heart with dad and mom at the same time. Strongholds in our life are often not broken down until we just simply release them, and sometimes if they're strong enough, if we cannot get release from just releasing them mentally, we need to release them in sharing with them. Number three, if you say it repentantly and entirely honest to your parents, and you just tell them how they have hurt you, but that you are really desiring to start anew and to honor them after this, but you need to release your heart to them. The hurt and the pain that you see that they experience as you are telling them this often is the last thing that you need to bring that last bit of repentance in your heart that will break it and the floodgates will open. And it will break your bitterness. You cry and you repent to them for it and say, I take it on myself. I needed to share this with you, but I take it on myself. Let them know that you needed to get it off of your chest so that you can put it in the past. Totally release them and honor them from this day forward unconditionally. Once again, a mother-daughter relationship is one of the sweetest on earth when cultivated with mutual respect. How do I pray for my mother or for my father or for those that are in authority over me? One thing Denny said the other Sunday really stuck with me. He said, we mortals cannot handle perfect love and yet judgment at the same time. So God never requires us as princesses to pray about our parents' faults. Did you know that? You are totally released from responsibility about praying for your parents' faults or their mistakes. Praying for their faults is very hard for you to do without feeling your own hurts and bitterness rising up inside again. You need to pray for God's favor, His blessing, and His presence to always surround them. Go through the Bible and use the Apostle Paul's prayers for your parents, like
Father, let your grace be unto them, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with them. And every verse that is blessing somebody else, you get that. And you bless, you pray for your parents in a blessing way. You are not responsible to pray for their faults. Now, if they are unsaved, you can pray for their salvation, but never pray for their mistakes or their faults. You pray for their salvation, and you pray God's blessing down on them. And it's the same way for me, just helpful for me to think of that in my husband. I don't pray about his mistakes. I pray God's support blessings down on him. Okay, how do we relate to our siblings? Well, quite frankly, the golden rule is all that is needed. That's the only verse we need when it comes to relating with our siblings. It quite simply ends fighting and bickering. That's as easy as that. This, of course, is to be used in discretion on little children that are selfish and don't know what's good for them. One thing you need to remember is release your siblings to your parents for correction. You cause a tremendous amount of pressure on your parents when you assume authority that you do not possess. Don't assume any authority unless your parents give it to you. They go away to the store or something. Don't assume any authority unless they give it to you. More anger and frustration are built through your interference than help, by a long shot. There are more parents that are put into the wrong spirit over the time of disciplining because of older siblings trying to, help, but really they're interfering. Release your parents to correct them as they choose. Your parents are responsible for the souls of their family. Many times all you're thinking about is the pain that child is feeling right now, and they're looking through it through the eyes of eternity. Never defend yourself when accused of bad character traits, and that is a hard one. But that is one I personally learned at home. I was just amazed. You know how defensive we get when another sibling says, oh, she really has a problem with this or that. And of all places, of course, it has to be around the family table. And you just feel so vulnerable and defensive and you, no, I don't, or you know what you do, you know. And we bring out the other side. And I remember one time, I never forgot it, because it was like just a window opened to me at what happens when you don't defend yourself. I forget what it was that I was accused about. I can't even remember if it was true or not, and it was accused, and I could just sense it, you know, this was just the opportunity when, if I would defend myself, it would here and there, it would just be two, three of them, just all attacking me at once. I don't know if I said one word. I just let it go. And if I did say anything, I believe maybe I said thank you or something. I didn't say anything. And it was absolutely incredible to me. The making of a pure argument that was ready to rise was absolutely distinguished just like that. And they didn't run me down half as much as they would have as soon as I started defending myself. And that really opened a new door for me to think on. If you accept rebuke or chastening from other brothers and sisters, the fastest way to get them to shut up is by being shut up yourself. The more you try to defend themselves, the more they think you need it. Another thing to remember, we often just think of, well, he's just my brother, he's just my sister. He is a soul encased in a body. She is a soul encased in a body. You need to look at your brothers and sisters as souls with bodies, not bodies with souls. There is a difference. You look at them as just a brother or sister, and you're tempted to do things that when you stop and think about it, that this soul is going to spend eternity, it puts a different light on the subject, and suddenly you realize, whatever I'm going to do right now or today with this person might be helping them or might be hindering them towards the kingdom of God. And we have absolutely no more right to discourage our brother and sister than we do anybody else in the world from gaining ground spiritually. You wonder how much they love you, how much they appreciate you. You feel a little insecure in your family. The fastest cure to that is remembering that there is no one more loved, more admired, more wanted than an unselfish person with a servant heart. It's very possibly your own fault if you don't feel loved or appreciated. How do I build a relationship with them? Okay, for one thing, you address with respect each brother and each sister, remembering they have feelings that are as acute as yours. They feel just as fast as you do. They get hurt. They feel insecure. They feel like maybe you don't love them. Sometimes we tend to just look at ourselves and think, well, I feel this way, but, you know, he can handle it or she can handle it. You need to address them with respect as an individual with feelings. And when you see that somebody else in your family hurt them, pipe up immediately with a word that builds them up. And just watch if you don't see that droop of the shoulders go away and this thank you countenance coming on their face. When you are too tired, if you have a servant heart, it is a good possible chance if you have some selfish people in your home that you're going to get very weary and taken advantage of. But instead of snapping back when they ask you to do something, I'm too tired, please just go do it yourself. Ask them respectfully like this, would you mind if I wait till tomorrow morning? I am really tired tonight. Just addressing them with respect as not somebody to be disrespected, but someone with feelings too, even if they're taking advantage of you. Playing games together builds friendships. That's simple. We had so much fun. I was hardly ever bored at home. We had enough of the children. We had our own games, and that builds your friendship. Teasing also does, believe it or not. Teasing does build relationships, fun relationships. If that teasing, let me see where this is done within the limits of the other's patience. Once you start overriding the other person's patience, it will not build relationships. But fun teasing, it can build friendships. Writing notes of appreciation on character traits or things that were done by the other is also a very good way of building each other up. Make a game out of trying to say something nice or upbuilding to every person in your family every day. If everybody does that, if there's two girls in here or three girls in one family and you start doing that, in a month from now, you get out a piece of paper and you start seeing if there was anything improved in sibling rivalry and teasing at the other's expense and just not taking care as far as respect with each other. Okay, cautions in sharing together. Sometimes we think because they're my brother or my sister, I can tell them anything. You have no right to ever say something about another person to your brother and your sister, even if they live in your same family, that is going to deeply wound or blacken somebody else's character in your brother or your sister's mind. Gossip that hurts others and makes your siblings struggle against that individual. Never talk about the facts of life freely with your brothers. It often leads, even though you can be close with brothers, that is one area you need to just be quiet about. You go to your mother. It leads to experimentation. It leads to shame and guilt and things you wish would have never occurred. It just is not very safe or decent to share a lot of facts of life with your brothers. It is true our homes are to be a place where we can let our hair down, but we don't let it down so far that we let go of respect and unselfishness. Because once we do that, our home is no longer the haven. You think, well, I want a haven where we can come home to, and like I said, let your hair down, quote. But it will not be that haven you desire once you no longer respect your brother and sister, and ones you no longer are unselfish. Let's talk about our girlfriends. There is something beautiful about having a girlfriend. There's something sweet about having one person or several people that you know truly love you unconditionally, despite your faults. It's relaxing. It's just wonderful to have friends, and I am not condemning friendships. They are absolutely wonderful. They are important because we can learn from others, and we can see through other people's eyes. They often see things that we don't see, and that's important. Friendships are tremendous boosters when we face dark times. But one thing to remember that young girls often do not remember. We need to release our close friends to other people. Sometimes we get so protective about our friendships that we literally smother them. Once our friend feels bound or forced to like me or be with me, love starts to die. Love never grows when it's forced. Jealousy shown when the third party becomes close to my friend will very fast kill the affection that she does have for me. Also, being overly sensitive at things she tells me or things I say is building the coffin for our friendship. We tend to be so conscientious sometimes that we get absolutely annoying. We are constantly asking if we offended them or if we hurt them. And all that needs to be to bring about that question is if we don't talk to them one or two Sundays, or and we start getting scared and we think, well, did I offend them? We go up to them and say, did I offend you? Did I hurt you? Did I do something wrong? That gets very irksome. I do not advise you to go up and ask your friend if you offended her or if you hurt them unless you have very secure or very definite proof that something went amiss. As soon as our friends start feeling duty-bound to talk to us, it just kills something. Friendships flourish when there is not a smothering of it. And what smothers it is once we try to protect it so hard that we can't even release them to other people. When cuddled, protected, and guarded by our oversensitivities, we make ourselves a burden to our friends. Girls do tend to be overly suspicious about tiny things. That is a known fact. And that especially arises in your friendships. You soon get scared that I did something wrong. And just remember that when you're tempted to go to one of your friends and say, did I do something wrong or did I offend you? Often we are overly sensitive and suspicious. And like I said, unless you have proof that something went amiss, it's better off just releasing your friend and not letting them feel like they are forced to love you. What should we talk about with our friends? You may talk about anything and everything in this whole big, wide, wonderful world, except things about others that will lower your friend's opinion about them. Gossip is nothing but devilish, demoralizing, exalting oneself, and hellish in the wrecking of good faith in others. Never talk about people degrading them to your friends. It is not right, especially if you are not counseling them or you're old enough to be a counselor. You just avoid bad gossip altogether. Most of the world's sorrow is found in money or in the careless tongue. Our speech gives us a name. Being critical of others only lowers you in your friend's opinion many times because they see that you are in a roundabout way trying to exalt yourself or assure them, I'm not like that. Never repeat something you would not repeat in front of that person yourself. That's a challenge. That's one thing I keep trying to think. If someone asks me about something, I think, well, would I be willing to give this answer if that person would be standing here. And that avoids quite a lot of gossip because we are pretty scared to say what we think sometimes right in front of the person. Gossip is the lowest form of exalting yourself that you can stoop to. It's just like as if you're taking a walk and you have no idea anything is around you until a dog comes back and just ruff on the back of your leg. That's how you're doing to your friends if you gossip about them. If you have to confide about something that is happening, that is hurting somebody else, and you know it needs to be solved, don't confide in your friends. Go to a mature Christian that you know can handle this information and would take an unbiased view and tell you where you are wrong in this. Do not talk about boyfriends, sex life that neither of you know about. You think, well, what in the world can I talk about? If your talk has centered around boyfriends, around the facts of life, around what other people do wrong, you are a very narrow-minded princess, and I think you need to broaden your horizons. And you need to read books or start listening to older people's conversations and broaden your mind beyond these little things that girls tend to get wrapped up in. And you will soon find very interesting things to talk about if you broaden your horizons.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 10 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.